influence and a godly legacy that God has provided each one of us today. And there are successes that come our way, but if they're going to outlive you past the tombstone and the day that they put us under, so to speak, and everybody comes and eats potato salad at the wake that they have about you, the greatest accomplishments that you'll ever have won't be really about what's said about you that day. I think it outlives you because of how you helped others succeed. And I want to give you those practical thoughts today. I'm trying to do them in my life, and I'm not mature yet. I'm trying to get there with you, all of us. Maybe when I hit 80, 90, 100, I'll finally get there. But these are things that I'm just starting to get a curve on and trying to lean into. And so I want to tell you about those today, and they're something from my heart. If you include everybody that will come near you, and that's near your circle, because there are people that come near you in seasons that are different than other seasons. I'm not as close as I am that I used to be with the people in my 20s that were my friends. I have a new circle of friends, and life transforms, and there are waves that come in and out that same way with friendships and associations. But if you'll include everybody that's in your circle of love right now presently, if you include them and bring you near, they'll never hurt you. But if you keep them out of your circle of love, they have the potential of hurting you. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? And so it's just a great thing to have everybody included in your circle of love that wants to be part of your circle of love. That includes your workplace, your school. That includes your associations that you have, the people that you see on a regular basis. How about in your marriage? You want to make sure they're included in your circle of love. It's a given, but it should be. Some of us are divided sometimes in our circle of love in your family. A family legacy is real important. There are rings that go on our hands and things that have been given generation after generation to us. And thank God for the gifts that are given to us. There's legacies that are given to us like inheritance and wills and trust funds and things that we get when somebody passes away and they pass that on to you to take care of an inheritance. But I want to speak to you today about something that's bigger than that. It's called the spiritual legacy. And it outlives anything that you can have on this earth. It will go on and move on. A spiritual legacy lives on because it gets marked generation after generation because somebody lived for God in a family and did the ability to have the influence over other people, and it helped them. On the screen that I'll show you is an illustration or a real-life picture. This lady was named Amy Simple McPherson, and she literally founded this church in the 1920s. 1927 is when the first Four Square Church was founded in Angelus Temple in Los Angeles. And you say, well, you founded it. You and Irma founded it in your home many years ago in 1998. And I would have to tell you, no, we didn't. We rode on the shoulders, or we stood on the shoulders of great people like this that had gone before us and pioneered a way. I wouldn't have been able to do, and still wouldn't have been able to do, if it wouldn't have been for this special lady in this picture that you see. That picture actually changed my life because I saw it in the archives of our denomination, and it showed this lady, and she would ride around, and she called this the gospel car. And when she rode around, she was a great evangelist in the 1920s at a young age, and she would travel when there were no streetlights on the roads at night, when the beaten path in the 1920s, you can imagine road conditions, and she would go itinerate and be a gospel preacher. Her tents would fill up. The story goes over 3,000 people would gather in a tent that she would preach. She had some scandals that came to her life, things that are written about her that allow, I think, my life and your life to be included. Because if you look hard enough in everybody's life in this room, I think you wouldn't want the skeletons to be found that are found in many of our closets. There was some things that happened because she became such a great evangelist that she decided to build a base in Los Angeles, California. She built a great church called Angelus Temple. In 1927, it was open. It was built to hold 5,000 people. A woman pastor, 5,000 people. On day one, it was overflowing. Each service that they had, multiple services on Sunday morning, they were filled to capacity over and over. Now, let me tell you about the 1920s. When a man can open a church and it can be a mega church, that's a regular thing. But when a woman opens a church even today, and it's a mega church, and start, how many know that's pretty, that's amazing, yes? In the 1920s, this was happening. And what was happening because of the mark of healing in her life, that God would use her to bring healing to the people that were sick and not well in their bodies, ambulances would drive up to the Angelus Temple, the church, equivalent of Living Faith, and ambulances would drive up to the people that had no more hope. They would said, you know, we're just going to drop them off. We hear you pray for people. This guy has been given the death sentence. This lady no longer can live. They would drop them off, and they would pray, and documented medical reports, they would be healed. They would walk out well people. And this would happen over and over in her lifetime. By 1927, she launched, I believe, her first church in Long Beach, California. And then she kept launching church plants. Today, there are over 1,700 U.S. churches that are associated with the Foursquare movement. There are 66,000 world missions that are associated with Foursquare missions. It all began with one lady, mind you, that was really filled with controversy during her time, that was filled with really nothing was left for an excuse of she'd be just an epitaph and nobody would know about her. But God continued to use her. And spiritual legacy is when you stand on the shoulders of people that are greater than you. And so in your DNA, because you're part of a Foursquare church that you're part of, and I'm not so big on the Foursquare church, and I'm going to tell you about that. I'm more about Jesus, but Foursquare represents Jesus. And so I'm not preaching about, you got to be born again by Jesus. Is that okay with everybody? But I'm so thankful for a movement that has covered this church. Because of it causes things to happen in our DNA, spiritual DNA, that will outlive you. If you come underneath the covering of this church, I believe it outlives you in certain aspects, that healing will take place in your life, that you'll be able to do things that are unusual, that will outlive your life with spiritual legacy. Let me show you another one real quick, and this is the Angelus Temple. Again, that's a long shot of it, but again, filled over and over. How many recognize that sort of dress? Do you all still have that sort of dress sometimes in your closet? Yeah. I think I still got a suit that looks like that guy on the first row. Yeah. Yeah. We stand on the shoulders of greatness today, and we don't even realize it. In the Bible, it's no different. There was a group of men that was a great-grandpa, grandpa, and then a dad. And they're called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so when people would pray in Israel, and they would ask for all the struggle that you were going through, and all the hopelessness that you had, and all the thing that you needed, they would always end, as Jewish people, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Mario? No. Jacob, right? And each of those three men in the Bible, it's documented. Just like it's documented about Amy, that they had tough times, that they struggled. Abraham sold out his wife because he was a coward, right? Isaac had his shortcomings. Jacob was a deceiver. They changed his name to Israel because he was a trickster. Y'all remember that? And so may the God of the one that was a coward, may the one that brought things about in your life, may the one that was a deceiver answer your prayers. That's not a good prayer to pray, isn't it? It's not. I'll give you the easy ones. It's not a good prayer to pray. But when you work through all the things, because each of us have been a deceiver, each of us have been some things that have mishapped in our life, each of us have been cowards at times, no matter who you are in this. And so, because of the workings of that, God has a way of just work. All the baggage that we have, in other words, can become something of help now. Can be something that builds you and blesses you. Aren't you glad you have some baggage? Because it qualifies you for God's goodness. It doesn't disqualify you. We've been preaching too long that you got to be perfect in the church, that God's out to get you. God wants to bless you. God wants to help you today, right, everybody? The very first church that I pastored, my children were real young. Now they're taller than me, except Rebecca, right? And the church that I took over for another pastor in a local city here in San Antonio nearby, It was a demon-possessed. I mean, deacon-possessed. Yeah, deacon-possessed. And so they had their board thing going on, and I came in hoping I was going to change something as a 30-year-old guy. And when I found out about it real quick, they didn't want to let go of that church. And so I just told them, I said, you know, y'all need to go on, and I need to go on. But I was heartbroken because I needed a paycheck. I was heartbroken because my children needed to be fed. My wife and I, we needed to both work and so forth. And I went away, and I remember just lying on the bedroom floor, just seeking God, because that's the way they taught me. You seek God on your face. And I said, God, open up something, do something in my life, because I failed at this. And sometimes in failures, God has a way of just resurrecting things. Don't you know it, right? And relationships. And so pain comes to every person in our room today. And I want to talk to you today about building your spiritual legacy in spite of things. There's a temporal effect, and it's found in your handout. Do you have your message notes? Yes? Look at it with me. There's temporal effects like I must protect. I got to protect some things. If I'm going to do this, and this is earth view, and this is temporal, it's not going to last. It's not going to build the spiritual legacy. It's all about I got to get my little space here, and they're not going to take anything from me today. I'm not going to get hurt like this again. And never taken advantage again. And you build up these walls in your life, and you don't allow anybody in, and the influence in your life goes down. The second thought, somebody say, I must benefit. And that's truly wrong, because what's in it for me? Where's my gain? And I'm not going to open up myself up to you again because I get hurt. The third one is, I must control. I'm in charge, and living large, and nobody else is. And you get this stranglehold upon all relationships and dreams, and nothing else happens. And finally, it comes to, I win, I must win. And it's all about you and nobody else. At the end of the day, I'll be on top. It's funny, people tell me, I'd love the church. I'd love to be in a church, but I just don't like the people in the church. Yeah, if it wasn't, I'd love my job if it wasn't for the people I work with. I'd love my retail sales job if it wasn't for the customers that come in. You're going to have to deal with people, right? And all these things are temporal effects on how we look at the outlook of things. Even Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the perfect one, had problem with people. His closest associates gave him all sorts of problems, didn't they? They disappointed him. They broke his heart. They betrayed him. They messed him up big time. When they should have been there, they weren't. And so how did Jesus, sometimes we name our great cathedrals after St. Peter, the Basilica, and St. Andrew, and those are all good names, but these guys weren't so saintly when you look at their lives, right? They were just like you and me. They were saints saved by grace. They were sinners saved by grace. And so I gave you some thoughts today that you can write down or think about. There are people problems, and people will disappoint. People are going to disappoint you, right? There's going to be some things happening that are going to be disappointing. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Hit your neighbor and say, you're going to disappoint me. Yeah, he already has, right? The way you're looking at him. Yeah. Jesus had walked on water, and he's approaching the boat. And the disciples in the boat think he's a ghost because he's walking on water. Nobody's ever done that. And Peter's the brave one. I'm using Peter, St. Peter, as the one that's highlighted because he had the biggest mouth, right, everybody? And so Peter says, Lord, can I come out and walk with you, right? And he gets out and he literally walks on water. No human being, nobody's ever done that. Demonically they have, but nobody's ever floated on like Peter floated on water. And when he starts to look around, sadly, the waves and all that, he sinks, right? Everybody knows the Sunday school story, right? And Jesus tells him this in Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. Jesus said, why did you doubt me? And the disappointment happened right there in Peter's life. Peter continues to do that. People will make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Who hasn't made a mistake in this church? Would you raise your hand? I want to go ahead and touch you so I can touch Jesus. Amen. And you can buy lunch today. Amen. Because you're so... Yeah. Peter is hearing Jesus tell all this bad news that's going to happen to him. He said, I'm going to be betrayed by one of you. I'm also going to be taken to trial and falsely accused. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to die. And Peter said, no, we're our administration just got in the office. We're, our popularity poll's going through the roof. we're not going to have this, Lord. No, you're not. This is never going to happen to you. And then Peter is told this by Jesus. Jesus said to him, you can change it. You guys are following me. Mistakes, right? I was preaching better than I thought. Amen. So Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, who? When you get called by Jesus the devil, how many know it's a bad day? It's not going to be a good day when Jesus calls you the devil, amen. Again, this is the guy that was with him in Bible college for 3 years, amen. You're a stumbling block to me because the purposes of God cannot be done through you. I have to move on, so forth. And so people make mistakes, even after a huge mistake. If I was ever called the devil by Jesus, because Jesus is all about love, I think that would be a big failure. How about you? I think I might get out of being a pastor. How about you? I mean, I think I'd be off the platform. Amen. That would devastate me. How about you? You can call me the devil all day long, but Jesus calling me the devil? Boy, that's... And so it wasn't a good day. The second thought, keep going, amen. The principle is people are selfish. I think I have this spiritual gift. How about you? The spiritual gift of being selfish. Some of y'all will say amen to anything, and that's okay. The disciples were selfish. And all the time that Jesus said, would you just pray with me for 1 hour? I'm going to go through this hard trial. It's going to be the trial of my life. It's going to be the toughest thing. Imagine if your best friend told you that. Would you just hang with me for 1 hour? Hey, these things are about to happen. I'm about to get arrested in 1 hour. I'm about to, someone's going to pass away that's very dear. Would you just stay with me 1 hour? I think I would stay with my best friend, wouldn't you? It's a given. But these guys, Jesus told them, he said, would you just pray with me? I'm about to enter the hardest time in ever my life right now. My Father's going to separate from me. The sin, all the weight of the world of sin will be on me. But I'm not going to have a relationship with my Father for a moment or two. And I've never experienced that aloneness, being that lonely. Would you just pray with me, guys? And these guys, they fell asleep. Peter was one of them. And he said this to him, Simon Peter, he said, are you asleep? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Man, I gave you all these chances, bro, and you still messed up after all this. And then finally, the big one that where all relationships probably get destroyed is people might betray you. Jesus told them it was going to happen. Peter said, you know what? You're going to, before the rooster crows this third time. Can I just be real honest with me? You can just nod at me or wink at me or do one of these because you might be sitting next to the person that's messed you over. How many know, you just know somebody, but you already know them. This person's going to mess you over anyway. I mean, you just know already, man, it's going to happen over and over. You give them 20 chances, and it's gonna, you love them still because they're probably in your family, but they keep messing you over. Does anybody have anybody like that? Wink at me. Look at me. Okay, you're just raising your hand. Amen. He's all bold. Amen. But he's on the back row. Nobody can see him. Is that okay? Yeah. Yeah. In Mark chapter 14, verse 17, Peter's denied Jesus. Here it goes about the third time. And he began calling curses on himself, really saying, you ever hear that person say, if I'm lying, may God strike me dead right now. And you kind of go, whoa, I'm going to get away from that guy. You just don't say those type of things, especially if you're God's child, because you learn, right, not to speak sort of thing. And so that's what Peter was saying after being 3 years with Jesus. And he said, I swore to them, I swear to whoever, he was saying, I don't know this man that you're talking about today. He was at that moment today. After all that, Jesus never says, I've had enough of you, you deceiver, you liar, you betrayer. Jesus never tells them that. Jesus never gives up on you either. Do you know that? Because we've probably done all these things to the Lord. If you really search your heart, if you really are, and if you say, nah, I'm good, you probably are the worst one in the whole bunch today. Amen. One of the differentiating points about Peter was this, that he kept hanging close to Jesus. Jesus was getting beat. He was in the portico just watching, probably from here to there on that back wall. Jesus is, Peter's still close. And that's what makes the difference about lingering today. You don't need to run away from God when you've betrayed Him. You don't need to run away from relationships today. You don't know, if you disappointed somebody here on this earth, you can still linger in their life. You can still know about them. Don't wash your hand clean of people. God still has a plan for your life today. God still has a plan for them. All the things that they've done to you, amen, God still wants to redeem because he's a redeeming God today. Pastor, you don't know what I've been through with this person. You don't know how they betrayed me. If it's something of physical abuse, we've talked about that at Living Faith. If it's something that something was involved that's great and detrimental that police got involved, I don't know about that. God does, and you do that. But most of us have had these issues of the heart where we built up walls today that we need to allow them people, we need to allow our loved ones to come back in and near us today. Amen. Give them a chance, a second chance today. We all need an eternal effect on our marriage. It's going to better us in our homes today, in our families, in our neighborhood, in our church today. Amen. Look in your handout today about the eternal effect. This is what Peter's told early on in his ministry, what Jesus spoke to him. Matthew 16, 18. Are you there with me? Amen. On the screen and on your handout, on three, let's read it together on three. One, two, three, go. Now I say to you, and upon this rock, yeah, the words that you speak out of your mouth will build a foundation. Or you know what else they can do? They will also nail the coffin shut with words. Words have a way of blessing. Words have a way of blasting. That man that said, you know, I may not be able to beat him up now because he's a big Jeffro kid, my son or whatever, but I can still beat him with my mouth. And that word destroys people today. The Lord would tell Peter on this point, I'm not going to give up on you, man. I'm not going to give up on you. And God tells you right now, I'm not giving up on you today. I'm still going to bless you. I'm still going to build you instead of destroy you. I believe in you, God is saying this morning. Isn't that good? Yeah. There's still a hope today. Now the resurrected Jesus in John 21, 17. Are you there with me today? And a third time, I think he told him three times. A third time because Peter denied him. How many times? Three times, yeah. So Jesus tells him this to remind him three times. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him this three times. And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know how much I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. He gives him a new assignment. He gives him a new charge. Hey, you're going to move on today. There's something new you're about to do today. I want you to apply Jesus' model to your relationships, to your life today. We all have people that come in and out of our lives that intersect our lives that aren't there by accident, because the longer you live, the more that you see that that third grade teacher was a godsend into your life. But you don't realize it till you're older, right? You don't realize later how somebody came into your life. Maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was your parents that came into your life. Well, I was born to them, but they still were your parents today. My story is this. My dad was in Vietnam in the early 70s. And I was growing up as a young child, probably 6, 7 years old. And my tia and Theo, my tia sits on the front row right next to my wife. Her name's Tia Delma. Would y'all bless her? Amen. We love her. I know she doesn't like this, but I called her yesterday and I said, Tia, I'm going to share this story about you and Theo Turo. And his name's Arthur, but can I call him Turo? Because that's my uncle, that's what I was called. And she said, certainly, son. And she's, again, I call her mom and she calls me son because of what they've done for me in my life when I was a lot younger. Thea tells me the first time that she saw me, I was like 3 years old, and I was laying on my grandma's floor, her linoleum floor, and I was coloring. She opened the door. She was dating my uncle at the time. And there I was. She said, there was Mario coloring. And I think she had always a heart for me because I was probably coloring it within the lines, right, everybody? I must have been making a masterpiece because she told me that story and it marked me how she remembered me, this precious lady. Well, what ended up happening when Dad went away, you know, I was growing up. And I don't know what my mom saw, according to my tia, which I know my mom, and I'm a mama's boy. My tia said, your mom was so protective of you. And so I don't know why this happened. And so when they would go on family vacations at that moment, during that time and season, they would go to places like Galveston. Now they're going to Lake Charles. Now they're going to Vegas. They're going to, I wish they would have had that money back then. Give me a good amen. But I was still glad, because you know why? The Navas, my family, we weren't going anywhere. We were staying home. And so when they would go on these little vacations and these week-long getaways, Gardner State Park, they would say, can we take Mario, my nephew? Can they take Mario, six-year-old Mario? And my mom, I guess, relented and let me go. I didn't know that there was a struggle within her heart till later, and my Thea, I put this together. And so I remember they would we would sleep in tents there at Gardner, and then I went to Galveston. We got to stay in this hotel, and I was the only guy that was like this SeaWorld. It was like this cheap SeaWorld at Galveston. I think it shut down. They didn't have all the attractions, but I was the guy chosen to pet the dolphin when you got the lucky guy, the number, amen. And there was old Mario petting the dolphin. They still got a picture of me petting this dolphin in front. See, they would take me with their sons. And I was like this redheaded stepchild, so to speak, but I wasn't. And they would include me. And they built me. And they blessed me. Whenever I would go to their home, I remember my Theo would always pull out like $2, and we'd go to this little corner store. And I could buy a lot back in the 70s with $2. How about you, right? Later on, during the family barbecues, generation after generation, I would go with my family. And my sons, my son and my daughter would go with us, and we'd be on Hilltop there in Converse, Texas. And there'd be barbecue smoking during Easter and so forth, and things would be a riot and good plates. And I remember my Theo would take such an interest in my son Andrew, because he was my son and he had sons. And I remember him now not giving Andrew $1 or $2 like he used to give me. He would give Andrew $5 as a child. And Andrew would receive it. But here it was a man that continually blessed people generation after generation, because his heart was inclusive, not exclusive. And he would reach out and he would build. And that man, little does he know that I stand on the shoulders of greatness like the Alvarados here that sit on the front row, because they're great people. Who has God touched you with the kiss of heaven in your life that have come and intersected your life, that you might have been not destroyed, but you might have been built and blessed? Do we all have those sort of people in our lives? Yes, we do, because God loves you and he has a plan, and he makes sure that he loves through people today. Maybe you can be a Tia Delma. Maybe you can be a Theoturo today. Maybe you can begin again today and bring hope to people. Amen? Today, amen? The thought is right here on the big screen. My influence isn't determined by my level of success. No matter how big this church gets, no matter how many buildings we built, no matter how many jobs you get today and the influence of your figures and salary, but your influence is your ability on how you will help other people succeed. Did you recognize that? Yeah. Even after the worst today, amen, and our relationships happen today, take the example of Christ on how to build a spiritual legacy and apply it and become a person of legacy. Number one is this today. I want you to focus on the person today. Get close to people. Don't stop. Relationships. Share your life with people. Know that person today. In my pastor's small group that I go to for over 10 years, I gather with a group of men, and they're all competitors, so to speak. In other words, if we had hamburger restaurants, did I wake up anybody? They would have a hamburger stand because they have a church. And these guys aren't competitors anymore, because after 10 years, these are my brothers. And so Pastor Randy Garcia at the Fortress Church off Prue Road, he's not my, see, that's my brother. I wanted him to succeed this morning. And Pastor Conrad Palacios at the River Worship Center on the west side, I want him to succeed even more than I want my life to, because he's my brother. Do you understand that today? I'm not competing with any of these guys. Rafael Gutierrez, the Door Church, I don't want him to fail. I want his marriage to live, amen, because he's my brother. And so I don't look at people to compete with him. I focus in on the person, because I've seen his heart in prayer. I've seen his heart in giving. And so must you must also do the same thing with your circle of love. Do y'all understand that today? Include people, because they'll never hurt you. They make you better because they're in your relationship in life today. In Philippians 2:3, it says this: do not be selfish. Do not try to impress others. How many times have we said done that, right? I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best. No, you're not. Amen. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourself. Yeah, they're better than me. That's a better preacher. That's a better singer. Give me a good amen. Because there's always going to be somebody more sexier than you on the block. Give me a good amen. Yeah, someone's going to have a better dog than you. Amen. Yeah. Not a cat. Give me a good amen, but let me move ahead. Don't look out for your own interest. You're saying no to the Word of God. Don't look out for you, but take interest in others too, right, everybody? Be positive about people today, because whom you love the most, you'll need to forgive the most. Don't you know it today, bro? Amen, today? You love them the most, you're going to need to forgive them the most. The Bible speaks of being kind and tender-hearted and forgiving over and over. It's part of the book of God today, amen? Overlook the negative around you today, and you'll go a lot further today. If you keep taking in the negative realms of people, you're not going to go very far in life today, amen? Encouragement brings confidence. It really does. It brings the confidence of God. One of the stories that I have when I was a student at Christ for the Nations was we were doing these dorm room meetings. I don't know what they're called, Holy Spirit sessions or something. You guys correct me during the second sermon. Give me the thought of what they're called. But back then we called them Spirit sessions, Holy Spirit sessions. And we would get together on our dorm blocks and we would pray for each other that the miraculous would happen, that miracles would happen. There'd usually be one guy playing a guitar in the dorm hall at GLT. And maybe it still takes place. Well, there's always these foreign students that come from all over the nations at Christ, which makes it beautiful. And so you get to know people from Mexico, India, China, Sweden, you know, Swedish people come. And so there was this one guy named Stanley, and he was from India. And most Indian people sometimes that I know, I'm not judging anybody, but sometimes they're kind of mean, especially when you go to the stores, those convenience stores, if you know some Indian people. Well, this guy was full of joy. Stanley was full of joy. He was his name, Stanley, you know, and he was always happy. And Stanley, during that Holy Spirit session, he began to pray that the cavities of this guy in his mouth would be filled. And God would supernaturally, so he laid hands on him. And you ever get around those prayer meetings that you just kind of give up and you walk away? Like, ain't going to happen. Yeah, and you start over here, it's time to go to McDonald's or time to go do something else because they're going to stay there praying. Well, when I walked away from that, because Stanley was on my on the seventh floor of GLT, I walked away mocking. And Scott Reese, my pastor friend that's now in Chicago, who I told to watch today, I walked away mocking and saying, Stanley thinks that thing's going to fill up, the cavities are going to fill up with gold. Yeah, he thinks that. I was that tone, but even worse probably. And Scott Reese stopped me right there as we were in the hall, the elevator, and he said this. He said, at least he believes something will happen. At least he believes for a miracle in that man's life. And that so shook me, it changed me forever. Because that mocking spirit that I have of belittling Stanley stop me. What if God would have filled? I don't know what he did. I mean, I don't know if it happened. I didn't check. But see, all that discouragement and that mocking, all it does is shrink you down to a little person. You know what encouragement does? Encouragement makes you larger and it fills up the atmosphere with just the miraculous and love that can happen today. Amen. We just need to be more positive. We need to be more people-oriented. And second thing is this. Focus on, somebody say potential. Everyone in this room has potential. Everyone has a gift. You have one gift. Some have many gifts. You have a gift in this room, a spiritual gift. You got to get connected, though, to find your gift. And there's no better place than a local church to find your gift today. Legacy grows when you let other when you look into other people's lives. You say, I see potential in your life. And you allow them to shine and not yourself to shine today. Miles Monroe said this, the greatest tragedy in life is not death, but a life that lives without purpose. It's not how long you live, but how effectively you live that matters. How many of you recognize that today? In Ephesians 2:10, I love this scripture. It says this, for we are God's what? And we are created anew, us and you in Christ Jesus, that we can do all good things, all the good things that he planned for us long ago. That word right there, God's masterpiece is the word, the Greek word poinonia, where we get the word poem from. And you are God's poem. You are God's love letter. You're his love story. God wrote a romance when he thought about you, because all he does, he said, I'm not going to write a horror story. How many know God can rewrite lives today, beloved? All my life has been this. It's been tragedy after tragedy. Well, give the pen to God. Give it to a person that you trust. Or how about you? You know what I've done that God would allow in my life that's much better? Yeah. when I bless other people, God blesses me. When I write something good about somebody and speak something good, God begins to change my life. And He'll do it in your life too. Become an encourager. Become a person that I see potential in your life. And you'll see God rewrite your life today. And it's such potential today. If God had a cell phone, you know what the lock screen would be? It'd be your picture on it. Because God loves you that much. God's crazy about you. God's done such great things, and He's crazy about people that you love today. Amen? Amen. Focus on three today. Focus on the process. There it is right there, the final point. I need to finish because I'm out of time. This won't happen overnight. It's not easy. But I know in relationship, if my son or daughter win, I win. If my wife wins, I win. If this church wins and the people within this church win, I win. Yeah. And so the same thing with you. Jesus tells us the process, and He says about not judging, about forgiving. And He leads us to Luke 16:38. It's our final scripture. Would you read it out loud with me, not out soft, on three? Are you ready? Thank you for the front row saying yes. Amen. You guys are my fans. Amen. Would you all stay for the second service? I sure do need some help up here. Maybe you might. It's okay. Amen. Every service, please come. Amen. Let's read this together on three. One, two, three, go. Give, and it will be given. And the amount that you give will determine the amount that you get. Yeah. And the amount that you give will determine the amount that you get back. And we use this to pick up an offering, and that's okay. But the amount that you give to other people, it comes back to you in the potential. Invest in people. They're the only things going to heaven. Before you start to move around a lot, listen to me. Would you seek God right now in the direction that you need to give Him in your life of how you need to practically apply this for other people? Would you ask God right now, Lord, what can I do now to outlive myself? That I can pour into other people and see their potential happen, see their purpose happen, see their focus happen today as I look at them as a person today. Would you bow and pray with me at this moment? Father, I thank You right now for the people of God in this room. And they don't need to be judged, Lord. In the end, You'll do that on that great and final day, but right now, Lord, I just pray that they would realize how much You love them, how much You have a plan for them today. You're in this room today, and you don't have a relationship with God. You're far away from God. You've walked away from God. At Living Faith, I don't embarrass you. I just ask that your hands lifted slightly, and what I'll do is include you in a prayer. You'll pray right where you're at. You'll know it. You'll pray it. And so will all the sinners saved by grace. They'll pray it with you. And you're in this room and you realize you've never said yes to Jesus, to Him be your Savior, the one that died for your sins. If that's you in this room, would you slightly lift your hand so I can note that and lead you in a prayer? I just want to make sure. If you're lifting your hand, yes, I can see it to make sure. Apparently, Father, everyone is saved, yes. I don't think it... So we've equipped the church for ministry. We're done. We did what we're supposed to do at this hour, Lord. Touch the people of the Lord and bless them. Now, would you just lift your hand slightly above your lap, everybody in the house? I want to bless you with this word right now. You're a Christian in this room. You are God's masterpiece. I declare that over your life. And Christ has created in you right now in your life. Good things are going to happen to you because God planned them long ago. You're going to receive them. And I charge you to give, and you'll receive in your relationships. And the gift that you return in full will be pressed down, shaken together. And there'll be room for more now, because you'll be able to influence more people. It'll run over, and it'll be poured into your lap. Now, the amount that you give right now will be determined about the amount that you get back, Lord. So make the people rich in relationship at Living Faith Church. Thank You, Father. Wherever they go, they're blessed today. Thank You, Jesus. We ask that You would do this in Christ's name, we pray. Amen and amen. Yeah, amen. We're going to be quickly dismissed. Christina Martinez is going to come and give us a couple of things that we need to know about, but she'll be blessed. Would you bless her right now? Yes, amen.
Good morning, everybody. Sorry, I'm real cheery in the morning, except when I have to wake up.